Blog Talk Radio.
Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me, don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me, though I have to travel far. Remember me, each time you hear a sad guitar. Know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister or Two. I hope everyone's having a good week, and I want to thank everyone for joining us for our Day of the Dead celebration. Hi, Pam. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing great. Looking forward to tonight's poetry, to, giving people the opportunity to honor and to celebrate and to remember loved ones who have passed on. So I'm glad you thought of this idea. It was a great idea, and I'm definitely looking forward to this show. And how are you doing?
I'm tired. I don't know what hit me, but all of a sudden I was like, oh, my God, I just want to go to sleep. But that's okay, because I'm going to get past this. And
get that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, we got another Twisted Sister joining us tonight. We have MK Rock. Hello.
Awesome.
Hello. It's the Twisted Trio.
Mindy.
How's it going?
Yes. Awesome.
I like that. That sounded good. The Twisted Trio. Yep. I like it. I like it.
Well, we're not too far past Halloween for me to start thinking about boil, toil, and trouble, all that stuff. Yeah. Anyway, how's it going?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm doing pretty good. We had a lot of poetry tonight.
I know.
A lot of poetry. Yep. And I think the three of us can just handle it. I'm lying.
All right.
But, there's a ton. We do have some, audios, which is helpful, totally helpful. And, I'm looking forward to the poetry tonight. Last night's show was very heartfelt, and it's pretty wonderful. So I expect tonight to be no different. And, that's what I can say. Sure. I guess we could get things started. As far as I know, we have no men with us tonight. So just us three girls. I think we can do it. We are invincible. Yes, we are. Okay. God, you're all so quiet. It's making me crazy.
Well, I was just wondering when somebody was going to break into Lady Willpower.
Lady Willpower? I don't think I know what that is.
Huh?
Oh, my God. I don't think I know what that is.
Really? That song?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, you were talking about no men around and us being able to handle it. I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Not a problem.
Yeah. Then what do you do, right? We just do what we do. Absolutely. So, Ms. Pam, I'm going to get you to kick it off. Okay.
What's that?
I said I'm going to ask you to kick us off with the first poem.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, man, that's the one.
And This is The Noise of Death by Martha Gettle. Death is not quiet, not to me. It made a sound as loud as can be. When it came, brought me such noise, the scream in my heart, it gave voice. It gave a wail so loud and strong, I can still hear it, right or wrong. The noise it echoes through each day, and right here with me it will stay. So though you did not make a sound, the noise it will shriek all around. The world it screamed along with me as I begged God, how can this be? How can the man that I live for not be with me, not anymore? Tell me, Lord, how you could sever all that held my world together. I put the blame on God, you see, for taking you away from me. The noise still echoes in my ears, and at last God's voice I can hear. You were in so much pain, my love. God in his mercy took you above. And though my world is cold and bare, my life with you I cannot share. I know that what God did was good. He did for me the best he could. He took you where you had to be. He left me with your memory and poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. I don't know. Then you want to write comments?
Sure. An incredible read on a really difficult piece to dive into there, Pam. Martha did a beautiful job of sharing a very personal experience for her, and one that is sure to rip your heart in half. And, you know, I was teasing before about things, but, you know, and having somebody special in your life, you're really shown a different aspect of yourself. And them not being there anymore makes you question everything. And this is a really beautiful rite of kind of the beginning of that process and understanding things. Well done, Martha. And let's see, we start with Pam. So, Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a very well done piece. You know, I mean, I understand, you know, how that feels. And, you know, it's all relatable. And I think Martha did a great job putting it out there. I mean, you go through those stages of, you know, you blame God, and then you don't, you know, you kind of come to terms with that. And you know, sometimes that goes by in, like, the snap of a finger. You know, just everything floods you, and you come through it. And I think she did a nice job expressing that. And, you know, you could feel the love that she had for him, and I think it was just a nice piece. It's a great job, Martha. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, now, you did a great job of reading this, and I know that you probably formulated some ideas here in the read. So would you like to share?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this was a beautiful, heartfelt write. On a technical level, it had a nice rhyme and flow that was spot on. But what really got to me was how she has the very relatable thoughts in here of how, as you mentioned, Mindy, when you question everything, you question your beliefs, you question, you know, the purpose of why this had to happen. And I think it shows a good heart and a good head on your shoulders that while at the same time still grieving, that you can realize that the person that you love so much that you wanted to keep with you was suffering. And I think this is just absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Beautiful
and,
comments, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to welcome Gray Eyes to the show. Welcome, Gray Eyes. Glad you could join us.
Hey,
hi,
Gray.
Pam.
Hey,
I'm
Gray.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a pleasure. Did you happen to hear Martha's piece?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We won't beat you up for it. It's okay. Absolutely. Okay. Miss Mindy, I'm going to ask you to read the next one. Surprisingly, we do not have an audio for this one, so.
Wow, okay. This one's by Eric Svensson, and it's entitled For My Heart. For My Heart, Tell Me So. Invisible, yet intuitively tangible, vast sky pantheon opens up, breath close, finer than gossamer silk thread. Loved ones pop in for a day or two to manifest their presence on the Day of the Dead. Soul ties can never be voided, vaulted in realms unseen. Cohesive universal glue is too powerful, allows loved ones from the other side to pop over. Brave are they to travel here from higher vibrational frequencies to share in our memories. Prepare a banquet, lay out a feast, favorite dishes of dearly beloved prepared, flowers bloom in confirmation. Day of the Dead is all about life, confirmation that out of sight is never out of mind. For our loved ones, it must be like stepping out of a designer Ferrari into an old jalopy, to walk back down those heavenly stairs, big bump, bump back through our blue orb stratosphere. Yet, as in life, they walk through fire for their loved ones, heavenly pantheon thrilled for the opportunity to come peekaboo. A whiff of scent, suddenly appearance of a certain flower, seemingly out of nowhere, robin redbreast sits on the sill. A favorite song plays on the radio, heavenly anagram telegrams. Here's me watching you, kiddo. Joyful tears, polka dots, a favorite napkin. Serendipity spirals down out of the azure skies. True blue smile, long forgotten phrases come to mind. Pitter-patter sound of familiar footsteps. Day of the Dead celebrates life, invincible life, just as a harvest feast gives thanks. Day of the Dead, flower lays gratitude, for my heart tells me so. End poem.
Great read, Mindy. Great read. Okay, Pam, you want to start us off with comments?
Oh, absolutely. This is wonderful. Mindy did a beautiful read of it, and there's so many great lines in this, and as usual, his ability to create emotion with imagery, I think, is top notch. I really like cohesive universal glue is too powerful, and because the whole idea that no matter where a person goes to, even if they pass on, then the connection is still there between the two of you. And I also really like when he goes down to where he says, a whiff of scent and an appearance of a certain flower, that whole ending part just reminds us of how sometimes you can go days and weeks even without thinking about, or even months after a time, thinking of a person, and then all of a sudden a favorite napkin, a favorite song, even a certain scent will bring their memory back to you, and all the good times and the pleasant times and the smiles, and it fills your heart with that kind of gratitude for the time that you got to spend with them. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, ma'am. Great comment. Mindy? Well, Mindy, you just read that, so I'm going to leave you alone for a minute. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a stunning expression of, life and love after death. You know, he speaks to his people stepping through from above into the below and revisiting us. And a favorite song plays on the radio, heavenly anagram, telegrams. Here's me watching you, kiddo. Joyful tears, polka dot, a favorite napkin. I thought it was just a wonderful write. Excellent read, Mindy.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this was a great piece as well. I think that, Eric really, brought it all to vision, there's always something that reminds us of ones we've lost. you know, not all at once, but here and there, bits and pieces, reminders, you know, and it's, and yeah, actually they're special when they draw your attention. So I think that he really did a nice job with the piece, and thank you for sharing with us, Eric. Yeah. Great job. And then Mindy, how about you, hon?
You know, I love the decided intention here to embrace the positive and that remaining connection, that one that is drawn of eternal fulfillment and of heart. You know, it's, I thought it was a really warm piece and an all-embracing share that celebrates an event that is uniquely designed to honor not just the dead, but the living that remain, that still find that that tug on their heart. And great job.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, what's up with you over there?
And Phil, I'd like you to let you know that Naomi has joined us. So welcome, Naomi. Glad you could join us.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Good to have you. Did you hear the last piece, Naomi, by Eric Spencer?
Yeah, well, yeah, I just finished reading it. And the line that stuck out to me, seemingly out of nowhere, Robin Redbreast sits on the sill. You know, we have a belief here in Quebec that when somebody dies on your birthday, they come back as a red cardinal. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but, no. You know, that's what it made me think of. And the red robin, red breast sits on the sill. So, yeah, what a beautiful piece. And I'm a fan of Eric's, and he always has these beautiful rites. So this is no exception.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. Yes. And Pam, do we have somebody else on the line?
Well, let me check. There is. Yes. I'd like to welcome Dexter. Welcome, Dexter. Glad you could join us.
Glad I could be here.
Hey. Hello, Dex.
Hey.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, glad I could be here. Fun night.
Very cool. Okay, now, Greg, can I get you to read the next one for us?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Here we go. This one's by Robert Polsky. There we go.
Okay, this is called Crossing the River by Robert Polsky. Shipwrecked in the broken boat of time, with the ballast of unfinished love, lie on the bottom of Sharon's skiff. Empty shell so cold, no sight, no voice, lying on the bed of broken boat, lost the silver obol from her mouth, the Stygian boatman's bribe. Remember the immense light, sitting on the bench made for two in the darkness, the night when love danced under the stars, two shadows reaching through the heavy dusk, hands met, light flushed in the flood, like 100 golden urns pouring out the sun. Pressed my lips to yours, offered the air I was breathing. Flowers smiled, lightening their bracts. Birds sung love songs throughout the night. Now stand alone at the edge of sanity. Look at the departure of the mist smiles. Drown in the darkness of pregnant thoughts. The sky is grieving. Cold stars shiver in the distance. Rain's weeping, wind shrieking, echoes have no sound. Mind sinks into madness. No lighthouse on the river Styx, broken into 1,000 shards. No obol, no guide, no path to Elysian fields. Soul disperses into the night silence. No one to pick up the pieces and home.
Great read.
Wow. Fantastic read there, Gray. Amazing. How about just a comment from you on this one, Naomi?
Did you say me?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this was beautiful. The whole, it was kind of like the whole metaphor for death, you know, passing over. The way he used the nautical theme here. And, you know, you drift on rivers through life, and, you know, death is one of them. And the way he used the Styx reference, I love that. No lighthouse on the river Styx, you know, with their famous song. So, yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful write. There's amazing lines in here. So, like 100 golden urns pouring out of the sun. There's really beautiful lines. I really enjoyed this piece.
Beautiful comment. That's the line that I heard. Thank you. And how about
you,
Pam?
I really like this. I thought it was beautiful that he went with the extended metaphor of the river Styx and the crossing over to an Elysian field. But the part that hit me the most emotionally is that second to last stanza with the sky is grieving, cold stars shiver in the distance. There's such a relating of how nature relates to the grieving of mankind. So wonderful write and very well done.
Terrific comment, Pam. Thank you. And how about you, Jean?
I thought this was a wonderful piece. I thought it was very well written and very emotive. And I think that, Robert did a great job with this. So, wonderful work. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you. Great comment. And, Gray, you did a beautiful job reading this piece for Robert. What was your impression?
I thought it was haunting, you know, in reflection of the soul passing across the river Styx and being lost with no one to pick up the pieces, you know, as it dispersed into the night silence. Just a wonderful, right? Full of excellent imagery.
Thank you, Gray. Terrific comments, everyone. And Robert, I'll leave my comment in ink. And back to you, Jean.
Okay, awesome. Okay, Naomi, can I get you to read the next one for us?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, this one is by Shelley Borden. Yes, there we go.
It's called Tribute to You by Shelley Borden. I miss the way you look at me, overwhelming pride from your eyes, a love that was incredibly strong and a pain you could not disguise. You were everything to me, but as I grew, I pushed away, never knowing if you were going or if by my side you would stay. I know I was a temptress, and that I can understand. I know it was a fright for you. You couldn't always hold my hand. And I know the pain I saw was deep sorrow and regret. Times you were lost in bottles, times together we wouldn't get. I hope that you know I don't care about anything. Every time our eyes met, it told me everything. Every moment we had was so preciously filled with a soul connection. Everything became stilled. The last look we shared was the most powerful one. I saw your fear knowing our time was almost done. Through you, though you couldn't speak, through your eyes, it told me. I was lucky to have you, Dad. You shaped who I came to be. Wow.
Beautiful read there, Naomi. You did a great job for Shelley. And I'm going to go ahead and take the first comment on this one. This was a gorgeous piece and a wonderful honoring, and it felt so very personal, the way that you conveyed and relayed every line here. We felt the closeness of the relationship and the commitment of heart and the understanding of the situations that cause separation and then last the pain and loss. And it's a really heartfelt piece and beautifully penned, and Shelley, nice work. And I'll jump to you next, Gray.
I really liked it. You know, I thought it was just a powerful tribute to her father. And, you know, every moment we had was so preciously filled with a soul connection. Everything became still. The last book you shared was the most powerful one. I saw your fear knowing our time was almost done. Yeah, just haunting. And I really liked her author's notes as well.
Beautiful comment. Great, thank you. And how about you?
Who was that, Mindy?
Did we lose Dex?
Oh, no, I'm here. I somebody was like kind of chopping right when I heard the name. So, no, I thought that this was an incredible write. You know, it was a rhyming poem, but it was just it was done in a very kind of, I didn't know, it was like, it was just very subtly done, it seemed like. And, you know, to see somebody, and I could be wrong, but my interpretation of this is somebody kind of drinking themselves to death is such an unfortunate thing. But the connection with this person that this person has through the eyes every time we met, it told me everything. When somebody's maybe struggling with an addiction and stuff, their mouth, they might be saying something or they might be doing something that isn't them, but you know, you can still see it in their eyes, you know, what the connection is and what they're thinking. Just a very powerful rite, and it seemed like a rite that was, from somebody finally reaching a place has reached a place where, they don't blame anything on their father. They don't do this. They're just at a great place of content where how everything went down. So very, very powerful rite.
Beautiful comment. Great.
Well, I think that means it's back to me. Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but I think you're breaking up a bit. So, just so you know. If you get this pregnant voice, at least you'll know why. I thought that this was a beautifully done piece. Not everyone, you know, experiences that fear in their father's eyes. And it's kind of break up a little bit. I thought it was heartfelt and very well done. And Shelley, thank you so much for writing for us. And I'm sorry I missed that sound clip. Yeah, it was so tiny, I just saw it at the end. So I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to read the next one by Kel Smiles. And, it's just my computer. That's me. Okay, here we go. Oh, shoot. I gotta say cancel there. Okay. This is Dear David by Kel Smiles. Honey, baby, there is so much I need to say. You would be proud to hear of James' success. He finished military duty, even visited the pyramids in your honor. Now he has his dream job as a police officer, met a lovely lady whom he bought a home with, and they have given us an adorable grandson, Hunter James. I can imagine your chest all puffed up with loving pride. I can feel you watching over us, and I know that you always will. You probably saw Chrissy's wedding in Wayne. So you know we have 3 more adult grandchildren and several great-grandchildren. You would be so very happy for our girl. Tony and Anna Mae both graduated from high school. So did Cheyenne. So exciting. Now Tony and his girlfriend are expecting a new baby, a little girl. Anna Mae is also pregnant. She's been waiting so long to have a child of her own, as you know. As for your cheeky girl, I'm doing all right. It's been a struggle since you passed. I miss your wisdom and advice and lousy at decisions, as you well know. I think about you every day. Remember times we shared and wish there were more. I want to apologize for not always being the best wife I could have been, for not understanding the pain you were in. Even though I could see it in your eyes and smiles, I know you tried to hide it from me. Silly, really. I believed in it if only. Oh, you know what I mean, honey. For a long time after your body gave up our generous spirit, I felt you beside me, your hand on my hip and waist as I slept. You haunted me. Remember when you threw a little gemstone across the room? Seriously, I couldn't find the damn thing. I wish I knew why it was so important. Was it important to you that I had it with me? I also realized how much you hated Tom when you dropped your box on the floor when he walked down the hall. With good reason, too, as he is now in jail. More than anything, I regret that we never talked about when you were gone. I love you. I miss you and always will. Your loving wife. End poem.
Wow. Tremendous read, Jean, on a really tough piece.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start. Yeah, wow. Pam, since you're back, how about we start with you on this one?
Did you say my name?
Yes, please. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, I really adore the way that she did this in a letter form to her husband. And it's like two old friends catching up. And I really like how she gives us a personal glimpse into her life and into her heart. I think this is beautiful all the way through, but I especially like where she says, at the end, your loving wife. I think that's just absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Great comment. Thanks so much. And how about you, Dex, on this one?
Yeah, I haven't even had a drink tonight, and I started tearing up on this one already. That was such an emotional write, and just knowing Kel and knowing some of the background and knowing some of her other pieces that she's written about him, this one really just brought the emotion out. I just don't know what else to say about it. It's just an incredible write.
It was a great comment, too. And you're right. Jean brought tons of Kleenexes and tissues, so be sure and pass them around. This was a really moving piece. And let's finish up on the comments for this one with Cal, please. Or, I'm sorry. Naomi.
Yeah, this was so sincere, as if she was just writing from her heart. Every word was so heartfelt. The way she goes on, and she, like, she's really talking to him, you know, like saying all that's happening, you know, with everybody, all the kids and the grandchildren, and how he'd be proud and how she misses him, you know. And, you know, and yeah, it's really a heartfelt, moving write. And, it seized me. And, just went straight to my heart. So, great write, Cal Smiles. Beautiful.
I think it's going to be one of those nights, Naomi. Absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
You did a beautiful... beautiful job. I'm going to hand it back to you if you want to comment.
I think that Kel did a stunning job with this. I like the letter format. And I think that she definitely, the emotions were right there. And she had everyone of feeling, you know, what was in the light. You know, I give her credit for being able to pen that out. You know, it's tough. It's a tough place. And but I think that you did it in a wonderful fashion. So thank you, Kel, very much for sharing with us all. Dex, I have the next one for you, please.
Okay.
By Budo. If my computer ever lets it go. There it is.
All right, this is Pops by Budo. Pops, such a gentle soul, full of love and might, tender-hearted, mama's gold. My Pops, that guiding light, gifted hand of music, played on ivory keys, lullabies while homesick, who never missed a beat, runner-up of talent show, his jazz band in Japan, to a country singing duo, barely missed Ed Sullivan. I would stay up late to listen while Mom would sip her dreams. Dad's grand piano glistened. Claire de Lune, unsight, unseen. So many noted memories. I long for those precious times. Bequeath him a final piece, reading ledgers between the lines. And though my life has lessened without his spoken word, I can still feel his gentle presence in every song that's heard. So Pops, I will keep playing a reflection of your eyes with music gently swaying into the open skies. End poem.
Beautiful read, Dex. That's really a lovely write too. Let's start out with Gray Eyes in this one, since I stopped on you last time.
I thought it was beautiful. You know, the reflections of memories is palpable in this, right? You know, you can see where he gets his talent, the Budo, in his music. I thought it was just a beautifully presented piece. Excellently read as well.
Great comment, Gray. Thanks so much. And how about we get to Pam to comment here?
Pam Ray.
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write. I like that. Well, first of all, that's a wonderful picture that he included of his father. And I like that he calls them Pops. They're such, you know, it just kind of makes you think of how that saying that anyone can be a father, but, you know, it takes a true man to be a dad. And Pops reminds me very much of using the word dad or daddy. I just think this is a wonderful lesson, a wonderful light on the lessons we learn from those who come before us, and a beautiful light and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, the line, the stanza, and through my life has lessened. Without his spoken word, I can still feel his gentle presence in every song that's heard. And yeah, the way he calls him Pops is so endearing. And all the way through, this is a marvelous piece. And I want to listen to that, you know, that video, Claire de Lune, and see. I bet it's really beautiful. So, wow, Budo, just a wonderful, wonderful write.
Thank you, Naomi. Absolutely beautiful comments by everybody. I agree. And what a rich lineage and those connections of music that came right from his father and bequeathed to him. What a wonderful rite and a wonderful way to celebrate his dad and that memory. Back to you, Jean.
Thanks, man. Yeah, this was a great piece by Budo. I remember the first time I read it, I thought, what a wonderful tribute. Just really, really well done. And, yeah, I loved the way he called him Pops, too. I thought that was what made it so special. So, excellent. And thanks, Budo, for sharing with us tonight. Absolutely. Pam, I have the next one up for you, if you do not mind. Well, I'm trying to put it up.
It's up.
Thank you. Pam, are you there, hon?
Yes. This is Cousin Edith by Mamia, and it goes like this. It was on my birthday when I heard the news you were in the hospital and you passed away. The sky was painted like an oil spill. My chest tightened. I could barely breathe. A flower plucked too soon before it could even bloom. Such was the anguish of us you inevitably left behind. Now I can only remember you as I look up the dusky sky. I smile fondly at the memories of a dear young city girl. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. Truly beautiful, yes. I agree. Let's start out with Dex on this one.
Wow. Talk about just setting the feeling and just setting the you know, putting out there the setting and just and painting the scene. You know, it was on my birthday, I heard the news, but the sky was painted like an oil spill. Everything about this one has such an atmosphere to it that it's just breathtaking. And it's just how the way that it ends is just so sad and touching. So very powerful write by Mamia. I enjoyed this quite a bit.
Comment. Absolutely. And how about you on this one, Gray?
Yeah, that was a beautiful read, Sam. Beautiful read,
Sorry.
Sam. Oh, that's okay. And it's such a touching piece, you know, it's so sad and tragic that somebody's lost before they can bloom. You know, the anguish is what you inevitably left behind. It's just a haunting, heart-gripping write.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. How about you, Jean?
Yeah, I think that this piece was very well written. I thought that there was, you know, some painful imagery in this, and, you know, it was poignant. It definitely was. It provoked the feelings, and it was really well done. And thank you, Mamia, for sharing that with us very much. Now I have to figure out. Okay. Miss Mindy, I have the next one up for you.
All righty. Okay, this one's by Time Teller, and it's entitled You. Antiseptic swollen breast, whistling gas as you rose three times, drowning in an ocean of morphine called kindness. The bedsheets white, like that light we spoke of, luminescent next to your pale softness. Goodbyes, within soft shadows of castled thoughts, your drawbridges slamming to ground with eye contact. Intruders kept at bay as seas washed your shores, short determined gas, breath, flowing over our footsteps in warm, safe sands, exhalations rippling their way back out to sea, taking only your prints. I've traveled to and from shoreline, casting glances from a fishing rod of expectation along or upon horizons, knowing you're sailing out there, waiting for our tides to reunite us like driftwood among the stars. End poem.
Nice read, man. Very nice. Gray, do you want to start us off on this one?
Sure, absolutely. You know, it was very visceral and emotion-filled from start to finish. You know, you can feel the tragedy of her losing, or this person losing their loved one. I have traveled to and from that shoreline, casting glances from a fishing rod of expectation upon horizons, knowing you are sailing out there, waiting for our ties to reunite us like driftwood among the stars. You know, how visceral and beautiful is that? Such a touching right. An excellent read as well.
Beautiful comment. Sorry.
Okay. Naomi, how about you? You want to comment?
Yeah, I relate to this a lot. Antiseptic swollen breath, whistling gas as he rose three times, drowning in an ocean of morphine called kindness. The bed sheets white like the light we spoke of, luminescent next to your pale softness. Yeah, it's the he's with there, you know, as she breathes in her last breath, and yeah, this is really, really moving. And the verse that Gray just read there, drifting among like a. Us like driftwood among the stars. Oh, wow, that's what a line to finish out with, you know. And, yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful read and really touching all the way through. So, yeah, bravo, Time Teller. This is absolutely awesome.
Great comment. And Beck, that's you.
Yeah, you know, the incredible metaphors used throughout this were really, you know, quite outstanding. You know, it really was extremely poetically done, because if you weren't, you know, a lot of the rites kind of when about a loved one kind of naturally, I think, come to kind of be so direct. This one was really well done as far as just telling this tale in such a poetic way. But, to be there by your bedside and have them passing, and it's such a beautiful way to, you know, because the setting isn't an ocean when you're in the hospital or you're in this kind of setting, but the gift of writing and the gift of our mind allows us to place us there and allows us to make this event as the way that he writes that. And that's really what it was to them, you know. But, you know, in the actuality, this was probably by a hospital bed. But just such a poetic way and such a gift of or using the gift of your pen to be able to express this. Very well done.
I have to agree with that. I think that the imagery in this was incredible. It was beautifully expressed, the emotions as well as the picture that she painted. I think that it was just a beautiful job. So, wonderful work, Time Teller, and thank you for sharing with us all. Now, Gray, I have the next one for you, hon, if you don't mind.
No, I'm good to go.
There you go.
This is called My Anchor Gone by Garonwe. My clocks have stopped at this river's estuary. Waved, washed clean, a life that's gone. She was my song, my universe, my lady of my years. She held me fast, my anchor in the storm. Gone and lost, her smile, her scented bloom, a final kiss, a memory of a laughing face, a lid screwed down, her hearse rolls on, giving me an empty horizon in my memory. End poem.
Beautiful read, Gray. Really beautiful read. Pam, do you have a comment here for Garonwe?
Oh, absolutely. This is a beautiful, heartfelt brevity. I really like it all the way through, but especially she was my song, my universe, my lady of my years. She held me fast, my anchor in the storm. I think it really shows a powerful connection between the two and the depth of the loss that he has felt and experienced. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. And Dex, how about some thoughts?
Yeah, the title, you know, My Anchor Gone, such a strong title and such a great metaphor, a classic metaphor, used extremely well. And, you know, she held me fast, my anchor in the storm. And then that ending line, giving me an empty horizon in my memory. You know, there's just that horizon when you look out, there's just no end, or there's no start. It's just, it's easy to get lost in that empty horizon out there. So just a very, very striking brevity and very well done.
Great. You know, one thing I was noticing in all of these pieces that is glaringly obvious is that this depth of loss can only be experienced when the depth of love has been equal to that. And therein lies the beauty for me. The first few lines in this, my clocks have stopped at this river's estuary, wave washed clean, a life that's gone. So quickly, someone who was such a huge part of your life is instantly ripped away, and so much changes in just a heartbeat. And there's that impetus to value what we have today. And a beautiful, beautiful piece here, Ronley. And Jean, back to you.
Okay, thank you. I think that the emotions were so well expressed in this piece, and it was beautifully penned. It's a beautiful brevity. So, definitely. Yeah. Oh, my computer is so darn slow tonight. It's unbelievable. Okay. Yep. Unbelievable. Nope. Okay. Ms. Mindy, can I get you to please put Julie Buck's piece up for Naomi to read?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I have to kind of figure this problem out. I apologize. I got it. I think I got it. I'm back.
There you go. All right. There you go, Naomi.
Okay. This is by Julie Buck. Rusty, you had a life to live. Have you ever trusted the track you're on? No questions. Secure in believing the rails. Know the rails. And hey, you're just along for the ride. Anyway, as they say, pay attention, some warn. So you reply, prepared to fight, to defend your stand. We're born, we die, and in between, if we're lucky, we have a few grand moments. But not that night, hot, dark, foggy, and Rusty's motorcycle, like a meth addict, was no stranger to speed. A helmet, not a law, not a need. When he hit that sudden orange cone, you know, set out for safety, he had no time to react, body and bike separately, plummeted, skid, slid for hundreds of feet down the freeway, broken, bloody, dead. And for decades now, all I think in my head over and over, what a true tramp was fate that night. Come on, man, Rusty, you had a life to live. Now, if you'd only had just one headlight. End poem.
Ooh. Great read. Great read, Naomi. Wow. Gray, how about some thoughts here on Julie Buck's piece?
I'm sorry, yeah. Beautiful read, Naomi. But, you know, this poem is haunting. You know, it's an epic tale of tragedy and loss. I was just reading her author's notes, and she said about Rusty, he was a twin, a senior in high school. We had 3 hours a day of commercial art. He gave me the one and only Quaalude I ever had. It rocked my day. He died science year, senior year, my first funeral. He was a gifted artist, and his parents played Zeppelin song, Stairway to Heaven, being 1979. Now every time I hear that song, it belongs to him, Rusty. You know, just an epic tale of tragedy and loss. So sad.
It is. Absolutely is. I'm glad that you mentioned the AN, too. And Pam, would you like to comment on this piece by Julie Buck?
Yeah, I really like the raw, honest tone of this. The way every line kind of lingers and bears her heart and the memory of losing someone so unexpected and at such a young age. Just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Hello?
Naomi?
Yes, I love the fast pace of this, you know, the one line, and it goes into the, it meets the like the motorcycle kind of theme going on here, and it emphasizes, you know, the tragic sudden loss, that the accident, you know, it just pulls it all together in this right. So it's wonderfully written and really seizing. And that the note that Gray read there, wow, in the AM there. And just a fantastic write all through. So really bravo to Julie Buck for this right.
Great comment. Thanks so much. And Jean, back to you. Jean?
I got thrown off the line. It was a little crazy. Okay. Nothing's going according to plan. Wonder why. Okay. Julie, that was an excellent piece. I'll leave you a written comment. This thing is painfully slow. Wow. Okay. Well, with that being said, tells me something went wrong. Yeah, I got that right. Okay, well, the piece I'm trying to put up is by Elaine Seven. It just won't let me. Oh, wonderful is that.
Gosh. Which one?
It was Elaine Seven, but I was going to read it, and I can't even get to it.
Okay, well, I'll put it on the board, and you can read it.
Okay, let me see if I can pluck it up from there.
There you go. Great, put it on the board.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get the board.
You're good. Click your fingers and me, girl. Good for you.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get there. And no, I can't. Dex, if you could be so kind as to...
Yeah, I got it up right now. Live okay, Your awesome. Afterlife by Elaine Seven. As a blue tulip bud yet to bloom is devoured by relentless hurricane. The day you faded without farewell, our tears flooded like salty storm. In springs we miss your jolly songs. In winter we miss your warm hands. Your youthful smile is etched in our memory, blooming eternally in those untainted hearts. Life you long missed, we'll live it for you, as if you were reborn without pain or regret. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I know you just got finished with this, but it's still fresh in your mind. So would you like to comment on it?
Absolutely. This was a, I really enjoyed this brevity a lot. But it was just unique phrasing in this one. It is devoured by relentless hurricane. And our tears are flooded like us, like salty storm. The unique phrasing in this one really stood out to me. And the way that it ended, the life that you've long missed will live it for you, as if you were reborn without pain or regret. What just a beautiful sentiment. And all of the rites tonight have been a celebration of life. But this one just had a little bit of a different tone to it. Maybe wasn't as quite as like a tearjerker, but it was just beautiful in a totally different fashion. Just a very great, incredible brevity and powerful, and well done.
Thank you so much. And can anybody hear me?
I can.
I didn't hear anything there, man. We ask if anybody heard you.
Yeah. Gray, can you comment?
Sure. I thought it was an epic tale of a tragic, I mean, actually, epic telling of a tragic tale. You know, it's filled with such glaring imagery, such as a blue tulip yet to bloom is devoured by a relentless hurricane. The day you faded without farewell. Just a powerful, powerful brevity.
Thank you, Gray. And how about we wrap it up with you, Naomi, on this one?
Yeah, I had the sentiment of this being like, well, a miscarriage or a young child that passed away. You know, when you see there's sentences like your youthful smile is etched in our memory. And the way you live your afterlife as if, you know, she didn't live before. As a blue tulip bud yet to bloom. I wonder, like maybe I'm speculating here, but it just made me think of, yeah, a miscarriage, a baby, you know, that didn't see the world, or, you know, parents that are filled with sorrow. And for this longing, you know, of what could be, you know, what could have been. So that's what I got out of this rite. And it's just beautiful, beautifully written.
Thank you, Naomi. All right. Well, we're going to add one more comment here, and I'm going to go ahead and sign into the studio. Pam, are you here?
I am, yes.
Can I get you to comment on this one, please?
Absolutely. You know, I thought this was a beautiful, heartfelt brevity, and I loved it all the way through. But what I particularly liked was, in springs we miss your jolly songs, in winters we miss your warm hearts. There's always something to connect to a memory of a person and what they meant to you. So absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Thanks so much, everybody. Terrific comments there. And I'll go ahead and sign in here and see if I can run things. Okay, I'm in the studio. And Pam, are you able to grab titles or no?
I can do that, yes.
Can we go ahead and post the next one up? I think, actually, I think I've got it done in the room. It's Thomas B. And you want to go ahead and read that for us?
I will be happy to do that.
Thank
you. This is All in All, Spoken Regretfully by Thomas B. And it goes like this. Dedicated to Susie Eckington. They say, what can you do? They say, don't take it so hard. The only mouth sounds, my heart, my existence is hard to put to understand your death. In my dreams, you're still alive. You are part of me, a part that I loved. It is only a shadow now, turns to gray as the sun sets, but the bright moments, they will remain. I was told just after I had awoken, God, the sun would never have risen. I was numb, cried a few minutes later. I have only run out of tears. Part of me shall always be crying. Sometimes, when I'm silent, I will still hear, sit still. I wish I could speak for everyone, but this is only what I can say. I hope you understand. My friends at the ARE tell me one man is constantly reborn. Rebirth really exists. I wonder, did your inexpressible self, what is you, soul, existing some plane beyond my grasp? I hope that this is true, that someday that which made you so wonderful will exist again. Perhaps I'll never know what entity, but I wish it luck. My friends at the ARE tell me and have told me all summer, it's winter now, that one can exist again and again in this plane. They show me all sorts of reasons for this belief. People mention heaven to me a lot. They all sound as if they're outgrown it. I wonder if there is a heaven. I hope it is enjoyable. You see, never worried about what comes after death. For myself, I just saw the end. It wasn't too important that I continue somewhere else. But for you, I cannot stand the thought of you totally ending. Lots of people have written about those they have lost. There have been great eulogies. There have been tears. Reasons lost for life with a loss from the heart. There will continue to be memories of people dying. History will only notice a few. I am adding my poem about you to this group. To me, you will always exist. This poem will bring your existence closer to others. Immortality in this world is made up of words and memories. Words make the memories. This is a slight aside to God. This is not to lay blame on you. I cannot blame anyone, not even the driver of the truck that hit her. I just wonder why. I guess that is all I can ask you. It is cold today. The wind blows right through you. I can't wish that you are here. I can only tell you I will go on living as long as I can.
Oh, incredible read, Pam, and a really difficult piece to read. We have those unique connections that we form with the people that we meet here on LMP. And Thomas has a way of speaking to hearts, uniquely his. And it's even tougher when you know the person. But beautiful, right? Moving. And soul-wrenching at the same time. Let's get some comments here. Dex, we have a comment first.
Yeah, what an incredible write and what an incredible read, too, by Pam. You know, I cried, I was numb, cried a few minutes later. I've only run out of tears. Part of me shall always be crying. Sometimes when I am silent, I will hear it still. There's just parts in here that are just like you know, just punch you in the face and almost leave you just stuck. There's my friends at the ARE tell me that the man is constantly reborn. Rebirth really exists. There's just different just pieces of this poem that leave you stuck in thought, leave you stuck in emotion. It's just an epic, epic write from start to finish. And so much truth within this lines of working the self, you know, it's almost like making it right. You know, Thomas working it out in his mind and trying somehow to make things right about what had taken place. Just a stunning write.
Beautiful comment, Dex. And how about you, Gray?
This piece deeply resonates with me. You know, you can feel the tragic loss of this person and the emptiness that's left in that void and the wondering of life after death. You know, your hope that person is still there, although for yourself you only see the end when death comes. So I thought it was beautifully expressed and a powerful poem.
Absolutely was. And Naomi, how about some comments from you, please?
Me?
Please.
Okay, it is cold today. The wind blows it right through me. I can't wish that you were there, were here. I can only tell you I will go on living as long as I can. And the way he writes it, you know, like it's true that history will only notice a few, but he adds this poem into this group so that she will exist a bit longer. You know, and her existence will become closer to others. So, yeah, this is an amazing tribute to this person. And, wow, so wonderfully written and heartfelt and troubling at the same time because all these questions he asks, you know, he can't be mad at God. You know, but he can't even blame the truck driver that hit her. And, yeah, just an amazing write, Tom. But, you know, he always amazes me through his writes. And this is just an amazing one.
I agree. Thank you so much. Incredible comments there. And Pam, I do want to say, you know, your read even conveyed the significance of the emotions more strongly and beautifully. So thank you for that as well. Can we go ahead and get a next link up?
Pam.
Absolutely.
Pam. Mindy, I actually am here.
Are you back, girl? All right.
Well, I'm back, but I got one hand tied behind my back.
So, okay, so what do you need us to do then?
I can copy links and move them to the board.
Okay.
It's just a little challenging for me to work two screens because I had to do this a whole different way. But I can do that if you can continue to run comments. And Pam,
sure.
That was a wonderful read of that piece, just so I don't want that to go unnoticed. It was wonderful. Now, I can't see Blog Talk. So...
do you want me to post the next one? I have the next one copied, Diane D.
I'm just trying to figure out who's next to read. That's where my
This has Pam read, so it could be it could be Naomi or Dex or Gray or me, you know, any one of
them. I don't know. I've been rotating, so after Dex I was going to Pam and then coming down the line.
Okay, so, Pam just read, so.
Okay, so then this comes to you then. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, it might come to you.
It'll get to me eventually. All right. This one's by Diane D., and it's entitled Remember Me, Mom.
Yes.
You fought courageously from my first breath, for as an infant I was lost and helpless. I needed you. You guided my first steps closely, hoping I wouldn't fall. When no one else would come, you came when I would call. I needed you. You had so much to do, Mom. You're busy all the time. I tried your patience daily, but you never seemed to mind. I needed you. You watched me growing quickly, more rebellious throughout the years. Yet when I cried out in anger, you would wipe away my tears. I needed you. You didn't turn your back on me when I hurt you in every way. You knew it was just a passing phase that I would realize someday. I needed you. You taught me how to be, Mom, to go out on my own. But I failed you again, Mom. I forgot what I'd been shown. I needed you. Even though I'm not a kid now and heaven keeps us apart, what I really want you to know lies deep within my heart. Remember me, Mom. I still need you. And Bo.
Nice for you, Mindy. Gray, do you want to start us off on comments?
Sure. I was saying that it's such a lovely and dedicated rite of love for your dearly departed mother. You know, the loss is palpable in this rite. It was a beautiful read, Mindy.
Nice comment, Gray. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, the repetition of I needed you.
Yeah, absolutely. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, just a very, very tough, just a sad piece. You know, you taught me how to be, Mom. You know, you go out on my own. Remember me, Mom. I still need you. You know, just such a way to end it on those lines. You know, some sadnesses just will never go away and maybe not ever gonna get easier, you know. And death doesn't really come at like the best time always, you know. And so, you know, it just sometimes we just still feel like as if we, you know, maybe we always will feel as if we need these people, you know. So it's just such a sad rite and such very, very well done.
Nice comment, Dex. Okay, and Pam, how about you for the final comment?
Oh, I think this is just a beautiful, heartfelt rite, and I like how she takes us through the life of her mom's love and dedication, from how she fought for her life as an infant to she continued to love her even in her most difficult and rebellious times of childhood. And I thought the ending was particularly powerful in expressing that there is still that need for that person, even though you know they're gone. So wonderful rite, very well done.
Great comments, everybody. It was a wonderful piece all the way through. Definitely a heartfelt. And, great read, Mindy. Definitely.
Thanks.
Now, Gray, I'm going to put one up for you, if you don't mind. Well, I'm going to put one up for you, if my computer doesn't mind. There you go.
There it is.
Okay, this is called Orange Sky by Eden Bray. You're vermilion red. You are a gamboge star, colors that spill across my bed, shafted, slanted through Venetian blinds. A cuckoo calls. She is somebody's mother. That's all she ever was to me. a setting sun who rose each day on time, her nurse's uniform prim and straight, the nurse's watch grandfather bought her. She was a nurse, a friend, always a carer, who life treated so unkindly. I remember the time you wore a beret. Your cheeks were flushed, so bonny. Your vermilion smile. Those old noir films you loved. I'd walk a million miles once more to see you. End poem.
Great reading. Okay. Definitely. And then you got this one?
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. Powerful read there, Gray. And it was like hearing the words spoken right from his mouth. And, wow. Okay. Dex, how about a comment on this one, please?
Yeah. Just such a touching write. You know, orange sky. You know, what's great about the orange sky and then the kind of pictures, you know, when you can kind of see the rose, your cheeks flush so bonny, you know, your vermilion smile, some poems are just so fitting of a picture, and sometimes it's of a prompt, but this poem seems like it fit this person so perfectly. It's just an awesome write. You know, she was a nurse, a friend, always a carer, you know, some people just, you know, give their lives to be here and to be able to help everybody else. And those people, just live on with the people that they helped. So just very, very well written.
Great comment there. Thanks so much. And how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, this is beautiful. The way he goes through, you know, all the things that she did through her life. She was a nurse. She was a carer. She was a friend. She was, you know, all these things. So this is an amazing tribute to this woman here. And, yeah, I just enjoyed every line.
Thank you. Nice comment. I have to say, yeah, I identified with this one because my mother was a nurse as well. And I think I took maybe a little different meanings in some parts in that when someone is a career mom, they're often not there so much in actuality, but their presence is still so strong with you. And my mother was all about the efficiency and well-groomed and you know, well-appointed, pulled together, very professional, not especially a huggy woman. And I get kind of that impression from him as well. Yet still there's that warmth and connection to her as his mother that he is still so strong that he'd be willing to walk those miles. And I think it was a really beautiful piece. And back to Eugene.
Okay, okie dokie, okie dokie. I have the next one, kind of, somewhere here. I had it a minute ago. Okay. Naomi, if I can get
yeah.
you done, that would be
okay.
Wonderful. And here we go.
Blurry Vision by Candy 81. I can't help but to think if you suffered any. Was there pain? Was you scared the day the good Lord called you home? I used to blame you for the pain of losing you because you were drinking on that fatal night. I was only grieving, I know, it was the whiskey doing your thinking. Alcohol had your focus making you visually impaired. The whiskey made the final judgment call, making you feel like you could live through it all. There was no way you could have seen that truck with double vision from the drinking. That night I lost you, my big brother, will forever replay in my mind the call saying you had died. It still hurts, and I cry every now and then thinking how it should have been. I forgive you, brother, for drinking and driving, because I know it was an addiction to alcohol, driving that car that fatal night.
Great read, Naomi. Very much appreciate that. And such a beautiful, heartfelt write by Candy81 on loss, grief, and learning to forgive and understand the suffering of somebody else. And Dexter, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, what a moving write this was, and just very, very real, very honest, you know, very cathartic. You know, I used to blame you for the pain of losing you. You know, when somebody makes such a decision like that. You know, whether it be drinking and driving or you know, a suicide or things like this, it's the people around them initially just, you know, from what you gather is if it's such a hard feeling because it feels like such a selfish decision by that person to do such a thing. And so not only is it the pain of everything that happened with this person dying, it's getting over that anger and that those initial feelings of everything so that you can finally find a peace in your heart to try and recover from losing this person. So it's kind of that double-edged sword. And so it's just a beautiful write and just very well done.
Absolutely. Well said. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, it's hard for us to lose somebody, especially when they're, you know, blinded by their addiction, you know. It's very tragic, and it's definitely a heartfelt loss. Just a beautiful expression of that loss.
Mm-hmm. It truly is. Well said there. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Dex summed this up amazingly well, this beautiful write, and Gray, too. I don't have much to add to that, but it's just like the lines are just flow together, and it's a beautiful testimony here. And I love the title says it all, blurry vision. He was blurred by his addiction, and he was blurred that night the accident happened. And, you know, and she probably also had blurry vision, whether to, you know, the anger blurred her eyes and blurred her to accept forgiveness. And then at the end she does, you know. So this is just an amazing ride all the way through.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And back to you, Jean.
Okay, thanks, Pam. What a poignant write that was. Very well done. And absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing with us tonight, Candy81. Much appreciated. Pam, I have one for you to read, so if you wouldn't mind.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Not at all. All right. This is Wish They Were Born by Aphasiana, and it goes like this. I tell my children I wish they were born, whispering to babies I never delivered, perhaps an unhealthy way to mourn. I read to my daughter who isn't real. if I never held her, what is this grief that I feel? I tell my children I wish they were born, three ghosts of my hopes probably earning therapist scorn. I sing to my son who never saw sunlight slipped away on a second trimester.
Uh-oh.
My womb always be haunted. End poem.
We lost you there, Pam, for a while.
Everybody radio check?
Well, that was me.
Okay.
You know, I'm usually in that top slot, so it was my bit.
Oh, is that what that beeping was? Were you muting me as I was reading?
Yeah. Because I meant to mute me, and I'm like, why can't I hear her anymore? And then I looked and I said, oh, I muted her.
Would you like me to read the poem?
Stopped at the line slipped away on a second trimester night.
Okay,
yeah.
Would you like me to finish up from there?
Well, either that or could you just start it over so it's not...
Yeah, tough. I think start it over.
You know what? I would be absolutely happy to do that. All right. This is Wish They Were Born. And it goes like this. I tell my children I wish they were born, whispering to babies I never delivered, perhaps an unhealthy way to mourn. I read to my daughter who isn't real, if I never held her, what is this grief that I feel? I tell my children I wish they were born, three ghosts of my hopes, probably earning therapist's scorn. I sing to my son who never saw sunlight, slipped away on a second trimester's night, lullaby secretly to soothe me, all the feelings I flee. I tell my children I wish they were born, whisper they were wanted, will my womb always be haunted. End poem.
Wow, that was incredible. And I commend you for being able to get all the way through that piece, too. Absolutely do. Naomi, would you like to take the first comment on this, right?
Yeah, like miscarriage is an awful thing, eh? And, you know, you feel the loss, even if you don't, you know, it's as if you mourn them. And, this was, you know, haunting and, all the way through, so I can't say her name, but this is just, you know, superb, right, all through, very heartfelt, and yeah.
Absolutely. Great comment there. Gray, would you like to comment on this piece by Faziana?
Sure. I mean, you know, the loss of light from the womb is truly a tragic tale, and I thought that her speaking to the spirits of those lost was commendable. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's quite a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
I agree. Jean, did you want to comment on this?
I think that this was beautifully penned. It was painful and heartfelt. It's such a deep loss. You know, it's different because not everybody has that. It's not like losing someone that five other people have grown to know. You know, it's a very personal and deep thing for someone to lose a child before their birth. And that's painful. And I think that Faziana addressed this beautifully in this, right? And she really said it well. So great job, hon. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. Absolutely. Now, back again, or
back
you have others to say it? Okay.
Or Pam, whoever's posted.
Whoever, whatever one of us.
That's right.
I have one I'm going to give you to read, Mindy. And this is by Stephanie.
All righty. And Felon wrote a piece entitled Martha Jean. May 22nd, 1951, bared a daughter to Ed and Joyce. May 22nd, 1951, bared a daughter to Ed and Joyce. Her birth was a small celebration within the mill village. Poverty was a commodity, often shared by her neighbors. She marked the third child, as two more would follow. Dysfunctional rearing sought to shape her future. Age 14 cut all strings from her mother's apron, as Joyce vanished, but not alone. She took her sister-in-law's husband, Howard, too. Years of Ed flaunting his encounters with other women came to a head, taking zero of the five she had birthed. Martha Jean had to take charge and raise three boys and one girl, taking her attention from school and employing to a local diner. Known as the Yellow Jacket and famous for their hot dogs, moments of hanging out with the girls or dreaming of boys, occupied with cleaning, cooking, and laundry, the money earned was spent on the very basics. See, Ed didn't view deodorant or hair products as a necessity. Martha Jean came to see poverty has its level in being poor. Mending two of three pairs of panties she owned, attempting to sew the holes to cotton that laid like cotton candy. This was the story of my mama, Martha Jean told me. Events I never had to experience. See, mama refused to allow dysfunctional behavior in our house. Well, so she thought, and learned of it years later. Her two brothers, whom she raised, took my innocence. The day of truth left me speechless, feeling as though my pain meant nothing. Only now do I see she was behaving the way she was raised. No mother to help mold her when becoming a lady. Filling the shoes that walked out and never looked back. How can I even see her as I did? Robbed of time to discover her mark in this world. Denied an education on the grounds of becoming the caregiver. Mama cared for everyone but herself. Unarmed with wisdom and lacking confidence to take on the world. Mama, you gave all that to me. You sacrificed standing above a crowd to shape me into a woman who can hold her head up so proud. Please forgive the days when I cuss your name, yelling, why did you leave me? Regret shakes all I took for granted as salt rolls against the peak of lost smiles. My lips speak your praise, though only I can hear. Miss your sweet mama, and thank you for loving me, even when I wouldn't allow you to hug me. Wish that moment could just once reappear until I see again my arms embrace all that you are. And poem.
Great read, Mindy. Pam, you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. This is just a wonderful write. You can tell that the loss she feels, it's still very much raw and real. And, you know, I like how she tells us her mother's story. And there's such a raw honesty to this, in that it's a tribute to the strength of sacrifice and the wonder of the woman. But it also tells of you know, the shortcomings or what are perceived as shortcomings, and the realization that her mother helped her to become the woman she is now. I like how this leaves us with the idea that someday that those arms will embrace again. So a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Good comment, Pam. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this, and I think Pam summed it up beautifully. The heart, it hits hard, and, you know, some women don't have it easy, you know. they're left alone with their kids and have to raise them. And, you know, they forget about themselves and they care for the kids. And, you know, they have to deal with poverty and everything. And just this is just a beautiful tribute to her mother all the way through. And just a really beautiful piece.
Absolutely. And last but not least, Gray, how about you?
You know, it's such a tragic tale that she tells in these lines of being, you know, her innocence lost to her uncles. Just such a tragedy, you know, that she had to suffer that, and that, you know, that she had to share this with her mother, you know. But, you know, it's a haunting rite that resonates just, you know, tremendously with me. So beautifully done. Excellent read, Mindy.
Great comment. Now, Mindy, you want to comment on this one?
I really do. Thank you. It's a fantastic heart flesh find revealed to us only through our own experiences and after years of living ourselves, when we start to see how people become who they are and how integral it is for that allowance for others to be human too. None of us are perfect, and none of us are dropped off here with a guidebook on how to live. Well, you know, there's one provided some if we choose to pick it up, but applying it to our life is another story. And providing space for that love to some forgiveness that frees everyone is the importance and the significance in living. And I think that Felon has found that place, and it is a sweet, sweet spot, one in which the love in her that has to come from somewhere, that's inherited too, it is allowed to well up, and that's what I see and feel from the page. This was an incredible piece to be read and shared with everybody, and a beautiful rite for tonight to celebrate a life. And brave, brave work there, Felon. Nice job.
Absolutely. It was. It was an excellent rite for tonight, a wonderful tribute to her mom, expressing all those years and all she had been through. So I thought that was just incredible. Naomi, I'm going to put your piece up. Do you want me to use SoundCloud?
It's pretty long, so put the SoundCloud up, and I had a hard time getting through it. I had to start over and over because the memories just came flooding back and hard to read. So
I admire everyone who wrote for tonight and last night. It's not an easy thing. If it'll go, it'll go. Holy moly. Okay, I'm going to put the SoundCloud on right now.
Gone before she left. Peering from the bedroom door, half open, standing in the shadows, I used to watch her as she sat in her easy chair. Right elbow propped, cigarette hanging between skin-thin fingers, light from the TV flickering off the walls. Smoke snaking its way up to the ceiling. I glimpsed a withered face through a broken mirror. Gray, messy hair bun, wrinkle-filled, sunken eyes, a heavy set of glass resting on her nose. Her walker leaned against the wall. She seldom used it, dragging one leg by the other. She was almost gone, clutching on to a few threads hanging near. Oh, how I wanted to paint the walls with laughter, watch vibrant colors fight the muddled gray matter so she would remember me. Scrubbing diamond tiles fading into white linoleum, my hands clenched down on worn washcloth, trying to hold on to her and me. as I listened to her talk on and on about a dog named Stubby and her first best friend Ronnie, her neighborhood of small houses on a cul-de-sac, her and other children exploring a little wood secluded and finding some big mica rocks and strange red bugs underneath. But never about the water park she took me to, nor the swim lessons. She had forgotten the smell of chlorine, fresh-cut grass where I did handstands and somersaults as she laughed and clapped, the scent of bonfire smoke, and the story of three wolves that howled at the moon, she told me as we sat by the crackling flames. Forgotten the music of the Backstreet Boys we danced to, and the lyrics of Dreams by the Cranberries we sang. Tears filled me and spilled by their own will as I packed up our things, along with all our memories in a silent place to grieve. I remember that you drank your tea with honey. I like it that way too. Love you, Grandma.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful, ma'am.
Beautiful, beautiful, right? Amazing read too. You know, you drew us into the piece with you, and I felt like I was right there with every heartbeat and every line, and it was a gorgeous, moving piece, and made me smile deeply because I had that sort of tight connection with my grandmother as well. Let's hear from Pam here.
Oh my goodness, that was just a beautiful read, and this is a wonderful heartfelt write. I like that it delves back into, you know, you introduced your grandmother to us, and she comes across as such a beautiful spirit through your eyes. I like how you show us the time that you spent together, the laughter, the colors created, the memories created, and I like how you bring up, I especially had to smile at when you brought up the music of the Backstreet Boys, and in the end you say, I remember that you drank your tea with honey. I like it that way too. A wonderful tribute to your grandmother and the times that you shared together. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And how about you, Gray?
I thought it was a beautiful tribute to the love and respect that you have for your grandmother. Just a beautiful expression of that. Well done.
And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a great tribute to your grandmother as well, and a wonderful collection of memories combined into this piece. And it was great that you shared that with everybody. I think that we can all appreciate it. And great job, Naomi. Wonderful audio, too.
Yeah, she had Alzheimer's before she died, so that's why she'd forgotten all, you know, all the things that was me and her at the end.
Mm-hmm. But you never did. That's
yeah.
That's the best. Who's giggling?
And now we won't either.
That's right. That's right.
That's the wonderful thing about ink and that shared collective is that we all take little pieces of heart from each other and keep those memories.
That's so very true.
Yeah.
Okay. And the next one I'm going to put up is by Marius Alexander, and he says, "I miss you, Daddy." And I have an audio for that. So let me hit that button.
I miss your tender call, your pleasant voice of the father. I miss you to pick me up when I fall. I miss all the time spent together. I miss your parental advice. I miss your wise words. I miss you teaching me how to be nice and how to fly free like the wildest birds. I miss you telling me that I was wrong, but also that it's normal to make some mistakes. I miss you telling me, be strong. You, son, have got what it takes. I miss you walking me to school. I miss playing together. I miss you placing in my hand first tool. I miss you. I miss you so much, my dear father. I miss the evenings waiting for you to come from work. I miss reading from the scriptures. I miss your stories that were scattered in the dark. I miss all the memories, all the black and white old pictures. I miss you praying with me, holding my hand, both of us kneeling. Nobody took care of me like thee. I miss you, a bittersweet feeling. I miss your laughter, I miss your tears. I miss the good days and the hardest one too. I miss you sometimes pulling my ears. I love you, Daddy. I always miss you. I miss so many unspoken words, so many things that I failed to see. I miss the Easter and the Christmas cards. I miss you, Daddy, but you're always with me.
That was marvelous, Marius. That was just wonderful. It was just a pleasure to enjoy that. Truly did. Wonderful share. And let's start out with Gray on this one.
Yeah, that was a wonderful sound, Cloud. And, you know, the such a deep respect and reverence for his father is shining through in this right here. Just a fantastic right from start to finish. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Gray. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful, heartfelt tribute to his father and the memories that they shared together. And I like how you can see how his father set an example for him on being a strong spiritual man. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, this is an awesome tribute to his daddy. The way he repeated the words, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. And, you know, saying all the things that he missed, you know, his parental advice, his wide words, his teaching me to be nice, and how to fly free like the wildest birds. So that I really especially like that stanza and all the way through. So just beautiful, Marius.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Beautiful comments, everybody. Jean?
I thought this was a beautifully penned tribute to his father. And wonderful memories filling the right throughout. Just an amazing piece and very well done. Thank you, Marius. Okay, and I think, well, we're close to the last rite of the night if this is not it. But the next one I will have, Gray, would you read this for me, please?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank
this
you.
Is called My Dear Brother's Fate by Gray I. Smith. That morning, just 10 years old, I awoke that morning, just 10 years old, to my grandmother standing in the doorway of my room. Get up, she said. Get out of bed. Your brother is in the hospital. He is mentally dead. He died that night. His spirit was gone. Though hooked to machines, his body lived on. For 3 days he lay until Mom unhooked him. We buried him Christmas Day. My sister had went to wake him up 3 days before. She found him there, her living brother, no more. He had a bag over his head. The airplane glue had dried. Getting high to escape, he tried, from a life of pain and abuse, a father's misuse. At 13 years old, his story was told. Fate stepped in. Death took hold. I miss him every day, though outwardly I rarely say, because the pain is so great of my dear brother's fate. And more.
Wow. Wow, Gray, that's incredible. Pam, you want to comment first?
Absolutely. You know, Gray, this is just so beautifully expressed. Again, it's a raw, honest rite of grief and memory, and it reminds us that too often times there is tragedy and grief behind a person's life. And I like that you share this part of yourself with us, and you allow us to have that glimpse into your grief and your memories. So just absolutely a beautiful rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate it.
Moving comment there, Pam. And how about you on this one, Jean?
Well, Gray, you know, I mean, the last time that I saw this piece, I was blown away. I mean, it's painfully moving, you know, and to be able to pen it so honestly is, you know, definitely an accomplishment, to say the least. I mean, it's just, I can't imagine how tough this was, you know, to put it on paper. But I think that you did do it beautifully. You did a great job with it. And, yeah, and I'm definitely sorry for your loss. Just painful, you know. So great job.
Thank you, Bill. Love you.
I love you too, buddy. Absolutely.
Great. Naomi, let's get your comment, and then I'll comment last thing.
Yeah, this must have been really, really hard to write. And, you know, you wrote it so beautifully and with so much detail throughout. And, yeah, like really digging into this must have been heart-wrenching. So I can't even imagine going through something like this. So anyway, yeah, just my deepest sympathies for your loss too. And wow, Gray, yeah, this is an incredible rite.
Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, Gray.
Incredible comments here, and great heart shared tonight. Gray, I have to say, your brother had a beautiful name, first of all. Ezekiel is a gorgeous name. And the song that you used at the top there by Israel is a gorgeous one, too. I love hearing Izzy sing that song. And I think it suits well, that love between brothers. 10 years old is, well, any age is tough to experience death for the first time, but 10 years old, that's more than a rude awakening. That's mm-hmm. severing deep inside that just never leaves. But in this piece, you recapture some of the spirit and the love that you felt for him, and that loss, and sharing it with us. You've told your story, and will help others, and you've kept his memory, and that's beautiful too. This is a deep and brave share, beautifully shared.
Thank you, Mindy. I appreciate you.
Much love. My,
heavens to Betsy. Well, I want to thank you guys for hanging out all night and reading these pieces. A lot of wonderful poetry tonight, as there was last night. And
heart-wrenching.
Was that a time for a change? Well, kind of. But I have a whole other show here on the board still. So that is definitely going to be, I think I'm going to make a show for Saturday night at 10 o'clock. And we'll do all the carryovers of the carryovers. There's a lot of them. We had like three shows worth of poetry. So I'll do that, and I will post up the board, and everybody will, get their say. I don't want to move them to Friday because then it'll have a mishmash of everything. And I don't think these pieces need to be mixed in with anything else. I think they deserve a spot all their own. And I want to thank everybody who listened in, who called in, who helped us read. Just a wonderful night of poetry. And I appreciate every one of you. And thank you, Pam, for running the phones. Thank you, Mindy, for running the comments. Thank you, Gray. Thank you, Naomi. Appreciate you guys. Thank you, Dexter. Much appreciate that phone call. Appreciate the voice. Did I miss anybody besides me bouncing around four times tonight? I blame it all. Anyway, 12:01, the show is over. So thank you, everybody. Much love.
Thanks.
Warm hugs. Good night. Take care of yourselves.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good
great,
night, everybody.
Great comments and heart tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Much love.
Yeah. Much love.